Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everybody. Good morning and welcome to Torah Today. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. I'm excited to be here with you this morning. We're going to jump right into our lesson for today. We thank God for being here and for this opportunity to break the bread of life with you this morning. I hope you have your Bibles ready. Our Torah reading for today is from Deuteronomy chapters 7 through 11. So 7 verse 12 through 11. 25. Torah reading for today is Deuteronomy 7, verse 12 through 11, 25. Your passage in the Old Testament, your other passage is going to be Isaiah 49, verses 14 through 51, 3, and then Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 13, and Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. And we're not going to get to all of that today, but I'm going to encourage you to read through the passages for today. And today we are on Parashat Ekev, which means on the heel of or because of. And so that is our Parashat for today. So keep in mind that, and let's move forward right now in the reading for today. We're in the discussion for today. Of course, we know that we are not able to actually go through the whole passages because we're only doing 30-minute portions here. And so because of that, we're going to give you the highlights and the insight for today's lesson. So let's get right into this. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 12 through chapter 11, verse 25. Let's go ahead and get into a word of prayer before we get going here. Father, we thank you this morning for this time that you've called us to. We thank you this morning for your word that brings us life. We are appreciative of the fact that you love us enough to talk to us and to share with us and give us insight concerning what you love and what you hate, that we might be positioned for the blessing of the Lord, that we might be positioned for the covenant. We are thankful today that you have chosen us out of all the people in the world. Many were called because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You had called all men to yourself, but you hand-selected us today, and so we're grateful for that. And so we thank you for your word today. It gives us life, and we thank you for it in the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. Okay, so we're in Deuteronomy chapter 7. We start at verse 12. I'm going to read just a little bit of it to you. It says, "Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that Yah, your God, shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto the fathers." I want to start out by saying this. The scripture is so amazing to me, and I love how the Father has set such an example of how things are supposed to operate. And if we really begin to read and to understand and to do the things, these principles that have been revealed to us in Scripture, then our lives would be so much better. So this week's passage or Torah passage opens up with a guarantee. I love that about God. He's a God that makes guarantees. He's a God of guarantees. That word "because," which is the theme upon which this is based on. I know in certain passages it may say, it may use the term, "it shall come to pass," but that's because of something else, then something else is happening. So that word "because" is as a result of, by reason of. It's consequentially and something that is caused to position you for gain. Are you hearing me? Or reward. And so this is important. You know, there's a verse of scripture that talks about us diligently seeking God. You know, that if you diligently seek him, there's a reward for those that diligently seek him. That's the cause. That is a because. If you do this, and because you do this, then this will happen. So again, this week's Torah passage opens up with a guarantee. It is the character of God to back all that he does with a product guarantee. "It shall come to pass" is a very familiar theme throughout Scripture. Because you have done this, then I am going to do this. The Bible says this, hearken. We saw that here in this passage. It says, hearken to these judgments. If you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that Yah, thy God, shall keep thee, keep the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto thy father. So let's break down a couple of these words. I don't know how far we're going to get. But that word hearken is the word shama. It means to listen, to hear, and to obey. I'm going to give you that again. It means to listen, to hear, and to obey. Not just to hear it and get excited about it. Are you hearing me? But to listen, to hear it, and to obey. That means you have to have an understanding of the language that's being spoken. You have to have a capacity, which is, the Bible is continuously talking about. The things that are spiritual are not, they are not naturally known by all people. It's something that's spiritual. And so when you've been called to a thing, you've been given the blueprint, you've been given the information, you've been given the language that needs to be spoken so that you'll have understanding when dialogue is going back and forth. I love that about the Father. He gives us these examples in scripture that we can carry across the board. You know, when you are in relationship of any kind, whether it's business, whether it's ministry, whether it's personal, there is going to need to be a listening, a hearing, and something that you can follow. But that only comes if you understand what's being discussed. It only comes based on your understanding of the language that's being spoken. So he talks about keeping. I gave you hearken first. He talks about keeping. That word there is similar to shama, which is to hearken, but this is shamar. And that word keep also means to preserve. It discusses or denotes being a watchman. When you are preserving the thing, you are looking at it to make sure that it doesn't spoil. You are putting it in a position where it has no spoil. Are you hearing me? And so you are a watchman for that thing. You are preserving that thing. To do a thing, we know what that means, to do the actual thing that you have hearkened to, that you have listened to, that you have preserved. Now do that thing. And so the word of the Lord is so amazing to me. I've got these notes written down here, and it's so congested here. I was in the house, and it wasn't very bright. Everybody wasn't awake in the house. Y'all pray my strength in the Lord. I got so much going on in this season. Hallelujah. But we coming through here. We coming through here anyway. He said, listen, keep the judgments. He said, hearken to these judgments. Let's go to the word judgments. That word judgment is about covenant. That word judgment means customs, manners, or culture. And, you know, I talk about culture all the time. I talk about this all the time because from the very beginning, it was what the Father did with Adam in the beginning, with mankind in the beginning. He gave him an environment. He said, listen, dress and keep it. Create a culture here and keep that culture so that I can always come back here and dwell and fellowship with you. So keep these judgments. Keep this custom, this manner of doing things. That word there is important to understand because you can't do anything that you don't have a clarity of. This is a custom. It's a manner. And that way has been provided so that you will know what the custom and the manner is. I love this thing about God because he's a covenant maker. He's not a covenant breaker. He's a covenant keeper. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And he commits to fulfill his covenant. You need to understand that. He commits to fulfill his covenant. Now, what we're looking at in this day and age is mankind that commits to a thing or says they're committing to a thing, not to fulfill it, but just to feel good about themselves for the moment or just to look good. You know, it puts them in the right position. It puts them in a power position to say, this is where I am and this is what I'm going to do. But they have actually no desire to fulfill the covenant. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, because I've experienced this on several hands over the last couple of years, this is very important that you understand that the enemy changes his game. He changes the way that he does a thing because he recognizes that it's your desire to really do the will of God. So he will reface himself. He will remask himself to appear as something that he is not. He'll remask himself. See, in another season, you didn't need such a great mask because you were under bondage and you were in a place where you were really taken captive and you had some serious issues and some voids that needed to be filled. Now you're out of that place of void, and now you're coming into a place of fulfillment and you're not looking for anything. And so now the enemy has to change the way that he does things with you. He has to change how he operates concerning you. And so this is important that you understand how to identify a covenant maker and not to get connected with covenant breakers. Now, in that same verse, it talks about the commandments and the statutes and the judgment. And so I'm kind of jumping around here, but I want you to know that word covenant is berit, okay? That word covenant is berit, and it means to be in league with or to be confederate with a thing, okay? And the word mercy there is kased, which means kindness and faithfulness. It even means beauty. It's the beauty of the covenant. It's the beauty of being in league with or confederate with one another. There's a beauty that comes out of covenant when it's done right. He says, listen, I swore this to those before you. I swore it to your forefathers. The people that were before you, I made them a promise. I shavah'd them. I gave them an oath. And this word oath there, that word swore means the word oath, and it makes to take or to make an oath. And every time I've come across this word oath in this season, it has to do with a sevenfold something. And reminded me of several different things, how the sevenfold oath at Beersheba, where Abraham was dealing with the king there of the Moabites, and they were arguing or disputing over this well because his people had backfilled or done something with the wells. And so Abraham was challenging him, and he said, listen, I didn't know anything about it, but they made a covenant right there. And that sevenfold oath of Beersheba was found by Isaac in another season. It was that underground water that was a seven-headed river. Are you listening to me? It wasn't just a well. It was abundant. It was more than what they were used to coming into realization of. So it was a promise of covenant that was a greater covenant than the other things that they had experienced. So I even thought about Genesis chapter 17, and it was a sevenfold covenant that was made there. And I'm going to take the time today, between today and tomorrow, and go look at a bunch of covenants, because I'm believing that in this season, when this word covenant comes up, because I've seen it several times, and usually, as the scripture says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. There's an establishment of a word when witnesses are two or three. And when there are more, that's just a great establishment. But in Genesis chapter 17, go check covenant there. He promised this to the man of God. He promised this to Abraham. He said, listen, I'm going to make you many. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to make you fertile in yourself and in your animals. I'm going to make kings come out of you. This is going to be an enduring covenant, not just for you, but for the people that are connected to you. Listen to me. He said, and I'm going to be your God and cause you to possess the land that you are an immigrant in. I need you to hear this. That was a sevenfold covenant there. This word of the Lord in chapter 7 also discusses the love of God, the blessing of God, and the multiplication that God desires for his people. You read through this whole thing. I'm just giving you the breakdown of some things. He said, I'm going to cause it to come to pass if you hearken to my judgments, keep and do them. He said, I'm going to make this covenant with you that I swore to your fathers, and I'm going to love you, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to multiply you. Are you hearing me? That word love, when you think about the love of God, that's an affectionate gestures towards a person. That's affectionate, to be affectionate towards a person. That blessing is the word barak, and that means to cause you to be honored. You know, the Bible discusses what is man in the Psalms. What is man that thou art mindful of him? That means God has you on his mind. You are full on his mind, and the Bible discusses the thoughts that he has towards his people. There is an honor that comes with the blessing of the Lord. It causes you to be honored. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And you are crowned with glory and honor. Are you listening to that? Glory and honor surrounds you. The doings of God, that's the glory of God, and honor, which is the blessing of God. Are you listening to me? Then he said, I'm going to multiply you. That's the word rava in the Hebrew, and it means I'm going to cause you to grow exponentially, enlarge you. I'm going to cause greatness to come out of you. I'm going to cause you to be great wherever I am. And this word here, to shoot, it means to shoot. That word greatness means to shoot, and it means to excel. Are you hearing me? It brought me to the remembrance of Isaiah 43:19, where it says, now it shall spring forth. What does that word mean? It means to excel quickly, to come from one place to another. Are you listening? Covenant is always clear and known. So when you're dealing with covenants in this season, I don't care what way it's being dealt with. When you're dealing with covenants in this season, I want you to begin to deal with covenants from a seven-point perspective. Use 7 points to complete a covenant. Because I believe that this is what God has established here. The principle that he's established here is that it needs to be sevenfold to be a full and complete covenant. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So the scripture is not lax and loopholed as it pertains to how man handles covenant. Are you hearing me? The scripture is not lax or loopholed as mere men would like it to be so, but rather very definitive and judicial. I love this about God. He's very definitive and he's judicial. When we think about judicial, and judicial matters, we think about court, and that's where these concepts of court came from, even though they have now been contaminated. This thing comes from the concept of how court operates in the heavens. He's very definitive, and he's very judicial. He gives a body of laws. He gives all of that. He makes a judgment before those laws are even carried out. He gives you the judgment on how that's supposed to be carried out, and then after he gives you the judgment on how a thing is supposed to be carried out, he executes that. He says, listen, this is what I'm going to do on my end. I'm going to keep my end. He is always seeking. This is what I love about God. He's always seeking opportunity to reward and to bless his people and to multiply his people. I need you to think about this from a true perspective of the character of God. A lot of times we don't have the true perspective of his character because people just refuse to read, which is why Torah is so important, because it causes us to see and to know his true character, his true nature. God the Father is always to reward, to bless, and to multiply his people. It's the very thing that he did from the very beginning. He has never changed his MO. He's never changed how he operates. It is the fact that men don't keep their end of the covenant that causes such detriment and such devastation. It is never God. Thinking about how people always talk about, well, why would God allow this and why would God allow this? Why would you allow it? You know what I'm saying? Why are you worried about what else is happening in somebody else's life? What has he allowed in your life? What are you allowing in your life? Because you've got to understand you are the mirror image of him in the earth. And so what you do, what you say, all of that affects your environment. How you operate, it affects your environment. So what are you making covenant with today? What are you making covenant with today? Verse 13, I love verse 13. I want to go through that verse real quick. And that verse, to me, is a depiction of the dimensions of the blessings of the Lord. That verse there is a depiction of the dimensions of the blessings of Yah concerning his people. And when I started talking about dimensions of blessings, I wrote this down. Philippians 4:19 talks about the endless depths of his doings. He said, I'm going to bless you out of the riches of my glory by Christ Jesus. So there's an actualization for all mankind because of the finished work on Calvary. There's an actualization of an endless access to the doings of the Lord. Are you hearing me? What didn't the finished work complete? It completed everything. He said it is finished. It completed everything. All of the commandments, all of the covenant, everything that God was establishing, it was completed because of the finished work. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so that dimension of blessing is endless. The glory of the Lord is the doings of God. And can I ask you a question? Are there any limits to his doings? Are there any limits to the doings of God over your life? You got to understand this, that if you are in a position where you're going to get into covenant with God, this is important. You need to hear this because a lot of people are praying and they're saying a bunch, but they're not doing anything. You can say a bunch, but if your actions don't line up with what you're saying, then the covenant is broken. It's not kept. And until you fulfill your end of the covenant, until you fulfill the thing that you are attempting or saying you want to come into covenant with, then there will be no response on the other end. You have, in order to get the response of God, you're going to need to respond to the thing that he's spoken to you. Does that make sense to you? I need you to hear me this clearly. Hear this very clearly this morning. So the blessing that he began to discuss were several blessings. He talked about blessing the fruit of the womb. Are you hearing me? The land, the fruit of the land, the corn and the wine, the oil and the kine, the flocks of sheep. He began to discuss all of these various levels of blessing. Are you listening to me? And Peter talks about in chapter 1, I'm dropping a bunch of stuff, in chapter 1, verse 3, talks about the provision of all that pertains to life and godliness. That word life is Zoe, the God kind of life, the God kind of existence. That's what you were born to have, the God kind of existence. And when you look at the Old Testament, when you look at how the Father was dealing with his chosen people, that was the life that he was getting them to. That was the life that he was taking them to. So he had to take them different ways, take them through a specific process to get off of them the old. That's that concept of the stripping and the strengthening again that I've been dealing with for some months now. That stripping and the strengthening of them so that they could come into the realization of who they really were because they realized who he really was. And so that word there is talking about the absolute fullness of life, the authentic feels. Animation, the possession of vitality on every end, the fundamentals of ethicality and essentiality that is possessed by you, and it opposes the lifelessness and the death. It opposes mortality and brings you into immortality. Are you hearing me? So as opposed to lifelessness and death, or immortality brings you to the mortality of things. And so this is important that we understand that God desires to bless us, and the dimensions of that blessing are endless. You know, they are endless. That's why he could make a statement like, the thoughts that I have towards you, just use the word endless there. The thoughts that I have towards you are innumerable. They are endless. They are eternal. I've got good thoughts on my mind concerning you. Chapter 8, we're not going to get through it all. Verse 1 begins with that observance to do, and we've been in that a whole lot in this season. The observance to do is what we opened up with today. In order for you to get to the overwhelming blessing, in order for you to get to that dimension of blessing that God is talking about, there has to be an observance, a looking at, giving heed to, contemplation of something that you're going to actualize, that you're going to do, you're going to operate in, an observance to do a thing. And he begins to talk about this thing in chapter 8. Let me go to chapter 8 real quick. He begins to talk about this from this aspect. He says, listen, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Hallelujah. Bless you, brother. I love you. Commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Yah swear unto your fathers. Here we are again. He's constantly reminding them, listen, this is my plan for you. This is how I want this thing to happen. But a lot of times we can connect ourselves and do a bunch of things that are outside of the scope of that covenant. And because of that, we are failing miserably to walk in the overwhelming blessings, to walk in the overwhelming dimensions of God for our lives. And so he's talking about living. What is that word there? To multiply, go in and possess. That word live is kaya. It means, and it's really kind of pronounced like kaya, you know, so I just felt like, you know, sometimes I do that. Forgive me. It's to quicken. It's to revive and to recover. And you need to understand where they came from. They were going to need to be quickened. That's how the Holy Ghost operates. That's that spirit that he's put on the inside of you. It's a quickening spirit. It's a spirit that makes you alive. Are you hearing me? It revives you and it causes you to recover. I love that word, live there, because it's talking about you being quickened, made alive, you being revived and recovering. It's to make known your quickening, your revival, and your recovery. Are you listening to me? But it comes from the breath. It comes from a breath. And when we look in the beginning, that's what God breathed into man's nostrils, the breath of life, the quickening, the vitality of God, the revival of God, and the constant recovery. In other words, you could get injured, but you're going to recover. You're going to continue to recover over and over again. The multiplication, which is rabbah, which means to abound and to multiply. To abound and to multiply. Are you hearing me? Abound in multiplication. That means there's an endless account of how you are multiplying. There is no ending to that. And that word possessed there is yarash. Yarash means to inherit, to drive out, to bring to poverty those that are before you, to succeed in this thing that God has called you to enjoy. I love that word right there. It means to enjoy. When we're talking about possessing a thing, God is talking to you about the enjoyment of life. He's talking to you about you enjoying a thing and dispossessing the things that are before you. Are you listening to me? Verse 2 talks about you remembering, and we've been talking about this for some weeks now. It's important and imperative that you remember the way that he brought you. You got to remember your history. You've got to remember the education that you got along the way, and the memory of the history of things is going to bring the transformative purpose in your life. Are you hearing me? It's going to change you from the former mindset. It's the thing that the children of Israel refused to allow God to do in them. They refused to allow him to do this work in them, and they continuously put other things before him, other gods. They continue to get in land. And they begin to follow the customs, the judgments of other nations. Are you listening to me? The culture of other nations. And this thing caused them to be dispossessed over and over again. Get back in that house, grand boy. It caused them to be dispossessed over and over again and to be in a place where they were not enjoying the blessing that God designed for their life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you need to remember the way that he brought you. You need to look at that. And with these children that were going into the land, that had gone into the land, it was their parents that had all the issues, but Moshe was constantly reminding them of the place that they had gone, the place that they had come from, all of the things that their forefathers had done and how they had tempted the Lord and how they had really upset God to the point where he wanted to destroy everybody and just start all over again. Are you listening to me? But in verse 17, let's go all the way down to verse 17 in chapter 8. In verse 17, it begins to talk about, and thou say in thy heart, my power and my, the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. You need to understand it is not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. You need to understand it is because of the love of God. Remember, we were talking about that love in the beginning. It's because of the love of God that you're not consumed. It's because of his love for you, his overwhelming love for his creation, that he does what he does. We are not in a position where we can say it's because we've been so right, because we've been so good. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not any of us that are walking in the righteousness of God, because he's given us his righteousness. That doesn't mean that there are not any of us that are actually actualizing and reciprocating based on the promises that were made to us. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that it's not of us that we can boast. It's something that was given to us. And the fact that we have the mercy and the grace on our life to actualize it, it's still his love for us. Are you hearing me? So you can't get to that place. And there's a lot of leaders in this season. They've gotten real arrogant and real prideful because they think because they have some possessions that they are ahead of the game. But they don't understand this, that the eternal possession of God that he's about to release in the body is not anything on the level that they are going to have, and will pale in comparison to what God is desiring and has designed to give his people in this hour. The question is, and you will find this out shortly, are you on the right side or are you on the wrong side? You're going to know in a minute, because you'll know whether it's been your hand that has gotten you what you're possessing. You'll know whether it's been your hands or not, because what you, when you start looking around you and see the manifesting sons and what they're walking into, you'll be trying to figure out how did they get there? How did they obtain this? Because you got to understand that these children of Israel, they were many, but the nations that they were coming up against, the nations that they were before, were stronger and mightier than them. And I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself because I need to, because I've only got 5 more minutes. They were stronger and mightier than them. But we stick to verse 18 all of the time, because you got to remember that it's God that gives you the power to get wealth. But you know what? That he might establish his covenant. But can I tell you something? There will never be an establishment of a covenant until you first believe the Lord. He said, listen, if you believe me, then I'll establish you. He said, if you believe me, I will establish you. If you believe my prophets, I'll cause you to prosper. But you're going to have to first believe me. That means you're going to have to take me at my word. You're going to have to take me seriously. You're going to have to take my commands, my judgments, my statutes, my laws seriously, and operate in those things. And then I'm going to establish you. But that establishment only comes as a result of your remembrance. Because when you remember that it ain't you, that it's me, when you remember that I did this thing, when you remember all that I've done for your forefathers, when you remember all of those things, then it brings you to a place where you can't help but reciprocate the love that I've given to you. You can't help but give back to me and follow through on what I've given to you to do. Are you listening to me? Verse 19 and 20, I liken these two verses unto the Garden of Eden. And one of the reasons is that I'm going to read both verses. It says, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget Yah thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. You're going to surely die. As the nations which Yah destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. We were just talking about this the other day, about the voice. It's important that you identify the voices that you're hearing in this season. It's imperative that you make a note of what it is that you're hearing, what it is that you're observing, what it is that you are allowing yourself to consume in this season, because it's a direct on how you're going to either benefit or you're going to be it's going to be a detriment to your life. You're going to either benefit and walk in the blessings of God, or you're going to walk in the curse. You've got to make a decision on that. But I liken it to the garden and to the fall, because that forgetting of God is what produces death. Forgetting God is what produces death. Death is a result of different idea, an opposing view of God. It's something that opposes God's view, his purpose, his idea, how he wants a thing to be done. And that's what they were dealing with in this time, and this is what God was trying to get across to them. Listen, it's important that you understand that the things that I put before you, you're going to need to follow this. Let's go to chapter 9 real quick. These nations, again, are stronger and mightier than them. Cities are fortified and fenced to the heavens. Are you listening to me? And others have been dispossessed by these very armies that you're going against. They've got chariots of iron. This is a real place. Are you listening to me? And I decree and declare today that you get an understanding that it is God that goes before you. It's God that's consuming and destroying. He's going to use you to consume and to destroy. He's going to use you to bring them down and to drive them out and to destroy them quickly, as he has instructed, as he has spoken. But you're going to need to keep your mind right. You're going to need to understand that it's him that's doing the work. It's no different than salvation. Listen, all we have to do is yield. We have to receive and we have to yield, because we recognize that it's not any doing of ourselves. It's God that's doing the work in us, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So listen, let's go here to verse 4 and 5, and then we've got to end this. Keep your heart in the right place. Don't allow pride to come in, because it's not because you're so right, but because the nations are so wicked before you and you've been chosen and he's so good to do this thing for you. Are you listening to me? You got to have a remembrance of your forefathers' dealings with the Father. And Father, right now, before we get off the line this morning, we want to just repent for the customs and the cultures of the forefathers. We want to just repent for those that were before us, oh God, and how they handled their relationship with you. We don't want to be on that side of the fence. We want to disconnect ourselves from the customs and cultures of our forefathers and how they operated before you, oh God, how they operated in lawlessness, how they operated in lawlessness and bowed to other gods. There is no other God like you. And we declare today and we decree today that you are God of all gods. You are King of all kings. And we surrender our lives, we surrender our will, we surrender our emotions, we surrender every part of who we are to you, the maker and the creator of us. You are the reason we live, move, and have our being, and we love you today, God. We love you today. We're not going to get to the rest of the passages today, but I'm excited about what God is doing in the lives of the people of God. Listen, he talks about in this phrase, I'm going to end it with this phrase. He talked about how they were stiff-necked. Listen, you didn't deserve any of this. You're stiff-necked, but I did it anyway. And there are some of you on the line that are listening that you've been stiff-necked, and God's letting you go into the land anyway. You're going to need to get in the presence of God so that you can maintain, because this is a season of now. I love you so much, and we'll talk to you real soon. Y'all be blessed, and don't forget that that's what you are.